1860, February 1st, 1860. Pure Religion, Ellen G. White. Pure religion, and undefiled before God and the Father, is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. James 1, verse 27. We too often neglect the afflicted, the sorrowing, and choose to visit those who need not our sympathy and assistance. Do we live out our religion? Do we carry out our profession in our acts, in our works? Is there not a lack with some of bearing burdens? Is the duty all done when we hand off our abundance to relieve the pressing wants of others? The afflicted need words of comfort and tenderness. Then let your voice be often heard in prayer for the Lord to give strength and courage to the sick and afflicted, and that his light may cheer them in their suffering loneliness. Let every one of us think that we can do something to make the burden a little lighter for our brother or sister, who has more to bear and suffer than ourselves. Young and old, let your life be made up of good deeds and of kind acts. When we visit the afflicted, we are not in so much danger of talking to no profit. But many of the young choose to be where there is no sorrow, no affliction, that with a light and trifling spirit they may indulge in speaking unrestrained, without care or forethought. Says the true witness, "I know thy works." I would say to our young friends, you must have an experience in these things. You must bear burdens, encourage and cherish tender, pitiful feelings towards the suffering. Study how you may be of use to others, do them good, and make them happy. Do not be wrapped up in self and think merely of your own enjoyment. If there are poor, sick, and afflicted among you, do not wait to be invited to see them and have a care for them. Go to them at once. If there is an afternoon visit anticipated, deny yourself the pleasure of joining your young friends in a social visit or chit-chat, and go to the house of affliction. Set your young friends an example. They may be persuaded to follow you, and hours spent with the poor, the afflicted, and distressed are precious. Angels keep a faithful record of it all, and your own conscience will commend you. Right doing will not go unrewarded. Think of the self-denying, self-sacrificing life of Jesus, our pattern, who went about doing good. Who imitates his example? It is time we were awake to our duty, and that we realized that it takes more than a name to make a Christian. It is to be Christ-like. We are to be judged according to the deeds done in the body. Reader, what kind of an account will be opened of your case? If you have cared only for yourself, God notices it if others pass it by. That which you sow, you will also reap. Embrace every opportunity that presents itself for doing good. Have your life dotted all through with bright spots where self has been denied and others benefited. Let your experience be interwoven with acts of benevolence, and you cannot fail to be happy while you are making others happy. And you will finally receive the reward to be given to those who have well done. Ellen G. White, February 1st, 1860. Western Missionary Field. Ellen G. White. The cause of present truth arose in the East, and at first had but few friends to sustain it, and they were poor. They felt a deep interest that others should have the truth set before them, and cheerfully bore the burden. Their hearts and purses were devoted to the work. Some even sold their houses and their lands. Means that was earning interest was called in, that it might be ready at any hour to use in the cause. They did not then think that even the principle must be kept good. Yet we have not heard them complain or regret the past. Many times have I thought, Where would the cause in the West now be if these efforts had not been made by self-sacrificing men? Those who supported the cause in its first rise suffered many trials. Through many discouragements, they persevered, with the fire of fanaticism on the one hand and cold formality on the other. They held fast the truth, and when news reached them that even one in the West had embraced the truth, it caused them great joy. The truth is now made so plain, and the friends of the cause are so numerous, that those who now embrace the truth can have but little idea of the reproach and trials those endured who first embraced and supported the third angel's message. I am acquainted with widows who took up their carpets and sold them to advance the cause. When Brother Bates made his first visit to Vermont, he had no means and was intending to go on foot with his carpet bag in his hand. I knew a sister who learned of his intentions and borrowed $5, which she put in his hands, and then worked 5 weeks very hard as a kitchen girl to earn the money.
By such efforts, the cause has been sustained, and by privation, toil, and suffering, our publications have been sustained. And those West can now have the truth in a clear manner placed before them. Do they realize that these truths cost hard study and toil, mingled with earnest, agonizing prayer to God for light, while evil men and Satan and his angels were warring against them? On our last journey east, we saw many who felt the deepest interest for the cause West. And we saw poor brethren and sisters coming forward with their donations of from 25 cents to $1, which they had dedicated to God. We learned that they were very poor. Mothers and daughters were making heavy coats for 75 cents each, and by going poorly clad, they save a mite to put into the missionary fund. We told them we thought they needed the means themselves, but they seemed to consider it so great a privilege to do something for the spread of the truth West, we could not hinder them. We looked at these pale mothers and daughters who are destitute, and then thought of those brethren who possess large, rich farms West. If these Western brethren had the interest in the cause that God requires them to have, and were willing to sacrifice or give of their abundance to sustain the truth in their own Western country, others would not be burdened, and they eased. While in Dartmouth, Massachusetts, I was shown the East and the West. I saw that God had regarded the efforts of those East to sustain the cause West. The brethren East have acted well their part. When many of their preachers were called from the Eastern fields to labor in the West, instead of selfishly retaining their means to be used expressly for the Eastern states, they have sent it where it could accomplish the most good. I have been shown the great lack in the brethren West. They do not realize that God has claims upon them. They should be willing to venture out on the result and success of this message. They should fully and cheerfully sustain the work in their own Western field. Missionaries should be sent into new fields. Minnesota should be visited, and persevering labor spent there. God is bringing out souls into the truth West, and they have a lesson to learn. Every one of them will be tested and proved. I saw that those West knew but little yet of the spirit of sacrifice, that messengers who labor in Western fields should faithfully teach the brethren their duty in sustaining the cause. They should patiently, prayerfully, and earnestly set this part of present duty, to sustain the cause of present truth, before believers. Preach the word, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all long-suffering and doctrine. Ellen G. White.